May the Lord's Spirit be upon my lips and in each of our hearts. Amen. Please be seated. Second Chronicles 7:14 says this, "If my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land." Psalm 51:17 says this, "The sacrifice acceptable to God is a broken spirit. A broken and contrite heart, O God, you will not despise." And then Philippians chapter 2, which we heard read this morning, goes like this. "If there is any encouragement in Christ, any consolation from love, any sharing in the Spirit, any compassion and sympathy, make my joy complete. Be of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility regard others as better than yourselves. Let each of you look not to your own interests, but to the interests of others. Let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God as something to be exploited, but emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, being born in human likeness, and being found in human form, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. Therefore God also highly exalted him and gave him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus every knee should bend, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Therefore, my beloved, just as you have always obeyed me, not only in my presence, but much more now in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who is at work in you, enabling you both to will and to work for his good pleasure." It's not by accident that this passage from the second chapter of Philippians is read on the same day that the Passion Gospel is read. Because what we see in the actions of Jesus are his humbling of himself. Paul refers to this in Philippians, "who though he was in the form of God, did not consider equality with God something to be exploited or grasped or held on to, but rather humbled himself and found in human form, became obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross." When Scripture reads elsewhere that the sacrifice acceptable to God is a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart, he will not despise. When he says, "If my people who are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and will heal their land." This is the same message again and again and again, here and throughout Scripture. God honors a broken and humble heart. It says that when Jesus humbled himself, even to the point of death on the cross, that therefore God highly exalted him and gave him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus every knee should bend in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Jesus humbled himself, and he was therefore exalted, promoted to the highest place. And Paul goes on here in Philippians, starting in verse 12. Therefore, my beloved, he's given us this model of what Jesus has done. Jesus has humbled himself and was therefore highly exalted. And so then Paul says, therefore, my beloved, addressing us, having just given us this model, Paul then says, therefore, my beloved, just as you have always obeyed me, not only in my presence, but much more now in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who is at work in you, enabling you both to will and to work for his good pleasure. Paul is giving us a model about how Jesus humbled himself and was therefore highly exalted. And so when Paul says, work out your own salvation, he is not saying, earn your salvation. He's not saying, do those things which will allow God to save you. He's saying, work out the consequences. Work out the consequences. Work out the effects. Work out the results of your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who is at work in you. The word used here in the Greek for God who is at work in you means supernaturally, powerfully, and effectively. That's the word in the Greek when it says God is at work in you. Supernaturally, powerfully, and effectively. Enabling you to desire and to work. Same word, work, supernaturally, powerfully, and effectively for his good pleasure. Very often, I think we sin equally in one of two ways. We either consider ourselves too good, too strong, too powerful, too smart, too rich, too competent, to need God and to need his presence in our lives, to even need him working in us. We can do it all on our own. And this is not the humble and contrite spirit that God seeks. We can equally sin by considering ourselves too worthless, too small, too incompetent, too victimized, too weak to do the will of God. What we might call the little old me syndrome. What could I possibly do? What Paul is saying in this passage of Scripture is that if we will allow God to work in us powerfully and effectively and supernaturally, if we will humble ourselves to allow him to come and work in us, that he will do a work of transformation in us, allowing him then to work through us. We become empowered by the Holy Spirit to do his work if we allow the Holy Spirit to work in us. And so the challenge for us is, do I do what I want in this life? Whether that is everything according to my own agenda and my own lights, or nothing because I don't believe that I should or could or incapable or I'm just too lazy. Do I do what I want or do I do what God wants? Do I serve God's good purpose? I believe, and all of these scriptures indicate that this is God's truth for us, that we should seek to do God's will in our lives. We should seek to discover what it is, and we should do it. I believe that we need a greater hunger for more of God. We need to be willing to pay the price and take the risk for that to happen. We might ask the question this way. Do I want to try to squeeze only as much of God in my life as will fit in my comfort zone? Or do I want my comfort zone stretched to fit more of God? I think for the most part, for most of us, we would rather just fit only as much of God as will fit into my comfort zone, rather than have it stretched to accommodate more of Him. But the question is, are we willing to let God be alive and active here in this church and in our individual lives? Or do we want this place and our lives to be a lukewarm place that seems to be safe? This is from Revelations 3:14. To the angel of the church in Laodicea write, these are the words of the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the ruler of God's creation. I know your deeds, that you are neither cold nor hot. I wish you were either one or the other. So because you are lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, I am about to spit you out of my mouth. You say, I am rich, I have acquired wealth, and do not need a thing. These words, by the way, in the Greek, can refer both to regular wealth, but they can also refer metaphorically to spiritual riches, even to spiritual gifts. And so what this church has said is, we've already done all of the work that we need to do. We've acquired the gifts. We're wealthy with the gifts of the Spirit. We don't need to do anything else. We're just fine the way we are. In fact, the proof of this is, if you'll just listen a little further, but you do not realize that you are wretched, pitiful, poor, blind, and naked. I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire so that you can become rich. It's the same word. Now surely the Spirit speaking to the church in Laodicea is not saying, I want to give you more money. The church, he's not accusing them of saying, we already have lots of money, and he's saying, just let me refine you and I'll give you more money. What he's saying to this church is, it's true that you have gifts. It's true that you are richly blessed by God with an abundance of spiritual gifts, but you have become satisfied with where you are. You have lost your hunger for God. You have lost your hunger to allow the Spirit to continue to work in you and continue to refine as gold is refined by fire. And so you are lukewarm. And because you are lukewarm, I am about to spit you out of my mouth. As rich as you are, he says, you are wretched, pitiful, poor, blind, and naked. And so I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire so that you can become rich, and white clothes to wear so that you can cover your shameful wickedness, nakedness, and salve to put on your eyes so that you can see. Those whom I love, I rebuke and discipline. So be earnest and repent. Here I am, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come and eat with him and he with me. To him who overcomes, I will give the right to sit with me on my throne, just as I overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. So Jesus is saying here, just as I was lifted to my throne, you too can be lifted to that same throne with me if you will be earnest, if you will repent and seek me. He desires to work supernaturally in us. That's what it means when Paul says, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Work out the consequences. Work out the effects. Work out the results. Work out the meaning of your salvation. For it is God who is working supernaturally in you, who desires to work supernaturally in you, not just today, not just up until now, so that we can be satisfied with the gifts we've already received, so we can be satisfied with the healing we've already received, but let God continue to work in you. Do not become lukewarm. Desire always, have hunger always for more of him, so that we may desire and work supernaturally, so that he may work through us to accomplish his good purpose, which is that more might know him, that more might be brought into the kingdom, that more might be healed, that he might work through more so that yet more might be reached. Jesus humbled himself and was therefore exalted. We are called to follow his model. We are called to do as he did, to humble ourselves, to invite more of God, even if it means stretching our comfort zone to accommodate more, even if it requires fear and trembling. We are asked to invite more of him into our lives. If we listen to and contemplate the astonishing humbling and suffering and pain which our Lord went through at his crucifixion, surely this should encourage us to be willing to do something more for him than we've done so far. May it be so for all of us, myself included. Amen.